Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Heavenly Father, we are excited to hear from you. God, we are boldly coming before your throne in expectation, eager expectation to hear from you and to know how we can grow closer to you, how we can fall more madly in love with you, and ultimately, God, just to hear your voice clearer. So God, I pray, be with us here tonight. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be holy and acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. God, we love you so much. Thank you for this time. And in Jesus' name, amen. Has life been hard for you? Have you been tired now more than ever? Have you felt now more than ever that you just don't know what to do? Do you have coworkers that are angry at you because of your faith? Do you have family that won't talk to you because of your faith? In fact, maybe there's a situation in your life right now where you just want to throw in the towel. It's just too hard. You know, I could be doing something else. I need to leave. Do you feel that you're just too tired to fight? Do you feel that you need to run away? Maybe there's a better place for me. Have you lost heart? Hang in there. Hang in there. For God knows where you are, and if you're following Him, He sees you. Hang in there. Many times in my life, I've come to what I think is the end of myself, and it seems that the older I get, the more I realize just how prideful I am, how self-reliant I am. In fact, I remember when I moved here to Huntington Beach, and I tried to get a job in my field of study. I studied design. And I ended up getting a job in videography, and that was close, and I was so thankful, and then I was let go. And I was just hemorrhaging money, and I didn't know what to do, and so I went to a frozen yogurt stand and tried my best to do my best at this job. And man, if you've ever been in the service industry, there's a look that some people give you, and you go, oh man, they believe they're better than me. And it was a humbling experience. And I woke up one day with just incredible anxiety and stress. I was still just running out of money because I was only working like 2 or 3 hours a week, and I didn't know what to do. And I remember applying to all these, different restaurants and places. And I remember getting a job at a Japanese food court making noodles for an udon restaurant. A far departure from my degree in design. And though I was thankful for the job, I couldn't help but wonder, God, what is going on here? And there was bitterness and there was anger there. And I was angry, depressed, and bitter. God, if you've called me out here, then why am I in more debt than I ever have been? And why can't I get a job in my field? I lost heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Are you being hit on every side? Stand firm. There are pressures and enemies that this life has. In fact, we know that the world, Satan, and the flesh are opposing us every single day. Because of our love for Jesus, because of our commitment and our stand to say, no, I will follow Him instead of following the world. In fact, in Psalm 1, I'm going to flip there really quick. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What's interesting about this passage is that the more you familiarize yourself with the world, you start to walk with the ungodly. Then you stand with sinners. And then you start sitting in the seat of the scornful, being bitter and mocking. There's a progression here, unless we are filling ourselves with the Spirit, daily walking with the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. There's a saint by the name of John of the Cross who talks about what's called the time of desolation, times of desolations, or we call them seasons. Are you in a hard season right now? What are you living for? Who are you living for? I remember evangelizing on the pier, and there was a man, we were trying to tell him about Jesus, and there was a gal with me, and he said, "Man, if only I had a wife like you, then my life would be perfect." That was his God. And we have little gods in our lives. I've been reading through the Old Testament, and there are so many times that Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, says, "Have no other gods before me. Have no other gods before me." But what are our gods in this day and age? It could be a spouse. It could be a better job, a better family, or this dream of a better life, a better house, a new place. These are all good things, but when we make them our goal and our fascination, then we get off track. What is your God? In fact, Jesus says that he who loves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And he also warns us about loving father and mother more than loving him. See, God has given us a great honor. He's chosen us from the beginning of time to be his kids. In fact, God would rather have died than to have spent eternity without you. Verse 2, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." See, Paul here is speaking truthfully. There's no deceit here. Unlike other religions or other cults, there's no secret knowledge here. In fact, that's how you know if you are in a cult, if you have to slowly work your way up the pyramid to have greater understanding. And in Paul's day and age, there were mystery religions where you would start in a club and you would slowly get deeper and deeper, and suddenly that wisdom and that revelation would be brought open to you, kind of the higher up the ranks you went. And so Paul says here in verse 2, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to some, to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe." Verse 5, "For we preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." This hidden knowledge should not be in the church. In fact, we're lucky enough to be a part of this church where we're going through the Bible chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse. Everything's open. In fact, there was even a time in Christian history in like the 3rd and 4th century where it was called the, oh boy, I'm going to butcher this, but like the Disciplina Arcani. The idea was that the communion and the holy sacraments were kind of put away, hidden away from the layman. and only if you were to work your way up could this understanding be known. And that's not the case. In fact, that's why so many people up to the Protestant Reformation, all of this was to make sure that we have a physical Bible in our hands to know the literal words of God in our tongue, or in our tongue. See, the more I learn, the more I realize that I'm running into the same old hymns that I learned as a child, like, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. An amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. No matter how much we dig, how deeper we go, the same truths are there. We just understand them more. And I think one of the most annoying parts is whenever I'm dealing or whatever I'm struggling with something, I'll ask my sister, what do I do? And she'll go, well, have you prayed about it? And I go, dang it. No. See, the gospel is so shallow that a child could play in it, but so deep that an elephant could swim. In this, I'm reminded of Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, Joshua was not a man unaccustomed to trials and tribulation. As a young man, he entered into the promised land only to have most of the other brothers who were with him lose heart, lose hope, and wanted to run back to Egypt. And because of this lack of faith, he would spend the next 40 years watching people around him die, all while they complained about the Lord. Finally, when God set up Joshua as a leader of the Israelites, God comes to Joshua telling him to be strong and of good courage. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say it was going to be kind of hard. In fact, we know that there are time and time again Joshua would have to rely on God like nobody else, often falling on his face. And that reminds me of David, who, when seeing the giant Goliath, asked Saul, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? See, when we look at problems from man's perspective, we quickly look in fear. We lose heart. We become depressed. We lose hope. But when we cast our eyes upon the Lord, knowing if God is for us, then who can be against us? We realize just how small our problems are. There's a really good book by the name of Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. It's not a Christian book, but it was actually written by a Jewish psychologist who survived Auschwitz, the Auschwitz concentration camp in World War II. In it, he talks about how he watched his brothers being treated way, way less than human. But no matter how hard life was, the human spirit, he realized, could survive if it had hope. Once that spirit lost hope, the body soon followed. And the greatest hope that he saw while he was in Auschwitz was love. His love was for his families and was for friends and family, maybe for a future spouse he talks about. But we have an everlasting hope, a hope eternal. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 and 13, Paul says, for now we see only in a reflection, as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known fully. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul had an everlasting hope, and that was focused on the love of Christ. And one day seeing our Lord, face to face. What keeps you going? Is it honor, accolades, prestige, family, friends? Getting the next thing? All of these things will fade. But God is eternal. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to the death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then dying is working in us, but life in you. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The scripture constantly refers to people as clay pots or earthen vessels. In fact, in Genesis 1 or 2, we're told that man is made of the dust of the earth. In the beginning, God formed man from the dust, breathed his spirit into him, and man became a living soul, a living vessel. And when Adam and Eve sinned, our spirit died that day. Our connection with God, the Father of lights, was severed. That's why Jesus came to bridge that gap for man and God, so the Holy Spirit could come and fill us again, so we can be that vessel of light. What do you fill your life with? The things of the Spirit or the things of this world? You are what you eat. In fact, speaking of eating, I was talking with a brother on Friday morning, and he was telling me that if he doesn't spend time with God in worship every day, then he becomes easily distracted by the things of this world. This life is hard. We're hard-pressed on every side, verse 8, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You know, from these past few years, I don't think anyone thinks that the Christian life is easy. But I know that that was taught for a while. Like, is your life hard? Get Jesus. Your life will be great. Almost as if Jesus is this new product or this new service that you can add to your life, and suddenly your problems are gone. The turmoil is gone. The pain is gone. In fact, I remember talking with people where I'm like, I see their lives, and they're like, I wish I just had something. I wish, like, and I was like, have you tried Jesus? And they say, oh, I already tried Jesus. It didn't really fit. You know, I'm a medium. He's a large. It doesn't really work. And see, the people of Corinth were of this mindset that, you know, if you're with God, then life is going to be easy. In fact, there were people in the time of 2 Corinthians that were saying, that were showing off their affluence. They were showing off their wealth and saying, hey, this is the healthy Christian life. This is what it looks like. They were calling themselves apostles, and they were fake apostles. They were saying, look at Paul. He says he follows Jesus, but man, he's getting thrown in prison, beat up, getting stoned. He can't be right. There were people in that church that said, look at me. I have it easy. I must be really close to God. And Paul refutes that ideology in this book. In fact, we need to refute that ideology. We need to look at the lives of the apostles that went before us, the lives of the saints that went before us. From my studies, normally the closer you get to life, or normally the closer you get to God, the harder life gets. Why is that? Well, two countries that don't have any issue with each other, they don't see each other as a threat, they don't go to war. But you see, the closer you get to God, the more the enemy sees you as a threat. The less he's hiding things, the less he's veiling things, because you're starting to tell people about Jesus. It's no longer your own personal thing. You're starting to tell people, and the enemy goes, oh, shoot, watch out. Watch out for that guy. When do we grow the most? I'm sure you guys have heard it, but carbon, when you burn wood and it turns to ash, you can take that carbon, and if you compress it at 725,000 pounds per square inch, you get a diamond. It's under incredible pressure. that something as basic as carbon turns into a diamond. And to give you kind of a frame of knowledge, because that's just an insane number, but 0.1% of that poundage that it takes to make a diamond is a really strong hit. So if you were punched 1,000 times at one time, you might become a diamond. Do we feel like that sometimes? Do we feel like we're getting pressed in, hit on all sides? When you feel as though there is no hope and you can't move at all, lift up your eyes. Look up, for God is with you. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? If your strength is in yourself, you will lose heart. If your strength is in the Lord, the enemy will lose heart. Resist the devil and he will flee. What do you have faith in? Verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. We have faith in Jesus, the firstborn of the resurrected. So what does this faith look like? In verse 13, it'll show in quotations, I believed and therefore I spoke. Paul is referring to Psalm 116. And I'm going to flip over there and I'm just going to read a little bit. You can flip over there if you want to, or you can just listen. But I was wondering, okay, what is he quoting and why have I feel like I've heard this, but I'm not sure if I've heard this. And I just got so much comfort from this whole chapter. And I'll kind of skip through it. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my cries, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death encompass me, and the pains of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low. He saved me. Is that all of us here? Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, because therefore I speak, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Why should I render to the Lord for his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. All those that die for the Lord God holds on to. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. I was going to take this part and talk a little bit on Mother's Day. But, you know, it's an incredible honor to have, to raise up children in the ways of the Lord and to have them walk in the way of the Lord. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, or literally, hallelujah. The whole chapter of Psalms shows us how we're supposed to be in times of turmoil and trouble. The pangs of death encompass me. I was brought low and he has saved me. Praise be to God for all he's done. He is near to the brokenhearted. He's near to you. We all desire to get close to God. But we all don't desire to be in times of turmoil and trouble. But count yourself blessed when you enter into various times of trials and tribulations. In fact, that's how James 1 starts. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your patience, or the testing of your faith, produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Jumping to verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The healthy spiritual life doesn't look like one of luxurious excess, where life goes smoothly. Life is hard. Look at one of the greatest apostles that ever was. Look how his love soaks through these pages. How his story ends, we all know, but he would eventually be beheaded for his beliefs. In fact, every apostle was martyred for what they believed, aside from one who history says was boiled in oil, then thrown onto an island. But does that mean we're to be miserable during this? Does that mean that we have rights to grumble and complain? May that not be so in the life of the believer. We are to give a reason for the hope that lives inside of us. People are supposed to look at our lives and praise God for what he's done. Oh man, may we sing hymns as we are led to the cross. I'm reminded of Paul, who was thrown into prison with Silas, and they were beaten and whipped. And what do? They start singing hymns. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and goodwill to all men. Oh, man. Do you want to be close to God? Do you want to grow deeper in love with him? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations. How can we do this, though? Because if we try to do this in our own strength, man, that's impossible. Only through being filled with the Holy Spirit is this possible. Not by strength, nor by power, but by what? My Spirit, says the Lord. God's Spirit. When our eyes are transfixed on the Father, our face will shine like Stephen the martyr, whose face was said to have shone like an angel when he was stoned and killed. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to remember where our hope lay. We must remember where our hope lay. How do you draw strength in times of trouble? How do you remain strong in times of tribulation? Remember where you're going. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. As our bodies start to fall apart, as we're being afflicted either physically, spiritually, or even from those around us, our inward man is being renewed day by day. So are we pouring into the Word? Are we praying to God without ceasing? Are we just asking God for help? Like, God, please help me. God, I need you. If our inward man is being renewed day by day, then we have the right mentality. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, all of these pains, all of these situations. In fact, I had an issue for about 2 weeks where I couldn't think properly. Everything was all over the place. And I was like, God, which way should I go? What should I do? What do I do? And my eyes were fixed on the problem. My eyes were fixed on the giants. instead of realizing that I'm a son of the Most High God. We are children of the Most High God. And it's our God that made the heavens and the earth, that holds the entire universe in the palm of his hand, the one who breathes and universes are created. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. What are we working for? What are we walking towards? Is it for the things of this earth, which will perish? Or the things that will have eternal glory? While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Remember where you're going. Remember where your true home lies. See, we have hope that is everlasting because of Jesus. I've seen addicts become evangelists. I've seen sinners become saints. The fearful become courageous, and the insane become scholars. And it's all because of the blood of the Lamb. There was a time a couple of years ago where, well, this happens fairly often, but I think I have things figured out, right? All of the pieces fit together, and I had life sorted. And everything came falling apart. And I didn't know what to do. And out of that time, I wrote a little song, and I'd like to share with you guys. Though you slay me, still I will follow you. Though my feet may fail, still I will run to you. For I desire this one thing, to dwell in your holy house, O God. The Lord is my shepherd. Teach me to hear your voice. Please draw near to me and be not far from me, for I desire but one thing, to dwell in your holy house, O God. O God, please rescue me. I will wait on you. Make me know your heart and be gracious to me, for I desire but one thing, to dwell in your holy house, O God. For I
desire for one thing, to dwell in your holy house, O God.
That really puts me, that really puts my, like, my mind in the right spot. Because when life is hard and I see the giants that are around me, I remember, oh yeah, that's right. What's the goal here? The goal is to see Jesus face to face. The goal is to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So no matter how hard life gets, no matter how many giants are around you, no matter how many times you're getting hit, be strong and courageous. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And he loves you with an all-consuming love. Focus on that. Because no matter how hard things seem to get, it will only draw us into a deeper relationship with the Almighty, all-loving, eternal one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son. We thank you so much for your life, for your death, for your resurrection, Father. God, I thank you for the words that Paul has written here and that we're all able to understand and glean together. God, I pray that if there are those who are going through hard times, God, that you physically meet them right here, right now. May they hear your voice, Father. And may they fall more and more in love with you. May we all fall more in love with you, God. I pray, give my brothers and sisters wisdom. Bless them, Father. We love you, Jesus. And in your name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.